All right. We'll turn in your Bibles to begin with today, John chapter number 5. We're going to begin here in verse 26 as we're continuing to look today at the nature and essence of our Lord as He is described to us here in the Scriptures. And we looked at His spirituality already, concerning the fact that He is spirit, He is invisible, He is alive. We looked at those a couple of weeks ago. Last week we focused on the fact that He is a personal God, and that's how He has revealed Himself to us, that He not only is personal to us in the way He has made us in the creation and brought all things into existence, but that He is personal to us continually, that He is ever with us, His people especially. He knows us and has made Himself known unto us. He even knows, He cares about our lives. He knows everything about us. He knows the very thoughts of our heart and even the number of hairs on our head, the Bible tells us. He is a personal God. And today, as we continue in this thought concerning the Lord's nature and His essence, we're going to look at what the Scripture describes Him concerning His self-existence, that He is the self-existent God. And we begin here in John 5 and verse number 26. This is the very thing the Lord declares of Himself in His name, when He declares that He is the I Am that I Am. And we looked at that a little bit last week concerning His name there in Exodus chapter 3. But we see here in John 5 and verse number 26, the Bible says, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." So as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. Now, in Exodus chapter 3 again, in verse 14, we see there as the Lord makes Himself known, and we looked at this passage last week in regards to Him being a personal God, we see here in verse 14 of this passage of Scripture, as He's speaking to Moses here, on the mountain, as He describes Himself here to Moses. And Moses asks the question, as we looked at last week, "Okay, Lord, You send me, and I go. When I get there, they're going to ask me, who sent me? What is the name of this God that has sent You to deliver us?" He says, "Well, who am I going to tell them sent me?" And the Lord's answer to him was, there in verse 14, "And God that said unto Moses, I am that I am." That is the name Jehovah, the self-existent one. I am that I am. And He said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Now, in our first passage here, we see verse 26 again in John 5, verse 26. "For as the Father hath life in Himself, as He is the I Am, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and so Christ Jesus is also the I Am." He is declaring Himself as God here. He is the I Am. He is the self-existent one. God exists today. Hans Holcroft put it like this. God exists not by effort or intention, but simply because it is His nature to be. It is His nature to be. There is evidence to suggest that Jehovah, the name Jehovah, and that's what Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 describes for us. The name Jehovah is derived from the verb to be. To be. That's where that comes from. And so I am, that I am, is His very name, Jehovah. God that transcends above the laws of nature. He is the first cause and is unlike any other, anything else. He is above in all, and He is the one who brought it all to be. He is the I Am. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on in our study this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank You again for this day. We thank You, Father, for Your grace. We thank You, Father, for Your goodness to us, Your many blessings that You continually pour out upon us. We thank You, Father, for each one that is able to be here this day to study of You, to sing praises unto Your name, to worship You. We pray, Father, that You'd help us to do so in spirit and in truth this day. Father, forgive us of our many sins and our many shortcomings. We fail You so often and come short of Your glory so often. And we desire, Father, to be found faithful unto Thy name. And so we pray, Father, that You'd help us, that You'd ever be with us, that You'd guide us and direct us in our lives, and that we would seek to do Your will, Father, that You'd grant us that strength and that power to be holding fast to You, recognizing that without You, we can do nothing. We are absolutely dependent upon You this day. Help us, Lord, to see, as we study concerning Your existence and Your person, that we would see, Father, our absolute need for You each and every moment of our lives. Father, we thank You that You are a God that is involved in our lives, that You are a God that knows us personally, that You are a God that cares for every sorrow, every trouble, every success, everything that comes in our lives, that You care for us, that You care for our very souls. Father, we thank You that You are a God that is involved for Your people. Father, thank You this day as we look to Your Word, that You would open it before us and give us understanding of these things as You've revealed Yourself to us in these things. Father, help us that we would glorify Your name this day. For those that are lost and in need of a Savior this day, Father, those that are undone without You, we pray that even this very hour they might see Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, that You might cause them to recognize their need for Him. And even in the same moments at the same time, that they might see that He is indeed Lord of their lives, Lord of who has redeemed them unto Himself, has washed their sins, and brought them unto Him. Father, save souls, we pray. For those many that are sick today, we pray that You be with each of them. Help them, Father, in all that they have need of this hour. We ask these things in Jesus' name this day and for His sake. Amen. Now, God, again, transcends above all of creation. He transcends above the laws of nature. He is not bound to them in any way. He is not dependent on anything or anyone for His existence. Before the beginning, before creation, before anything else was made, God existed alone from everlasting. Self-contained, self-sufficient, in need of nothing. My friends, He remains self-existent, self-contained, self-sufficient, and in need of nothing. He's the same God. He's the same God. God did not have to create. He was not under any obligation to create. But He chose to do so sovereignly. He chose to create all that we see before us today because He wanted to. Because He wanted to. In Ephesians chapter 1, as Paul describes our place here before God as children of God, as one of his elect, and he has chosen us unto himself. Paul describes there in Ephesians 1, verse number 11, he describes here God's position in this. And for that matter, God's position in everything that he does. For he says in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He works all things because he wants to. He is not bound by anything. He is not caused to move by anything. His will is always done. His will is always done. A.W. Pink says it like this, God is no gainer even from our worship. He was in no need of that external glory of his grace which arises from his redeemed. For he is glorious enough in himself without that. What was it that moved him to predestinate his elect to the praise of the glory of his grace? It was according to the good pleasure of his will. That's what Ephesians 1 there in verse 5 tells us. It's what he tells us again in verse 11. It was simply because he chose to. It was his good pleasure to do so. God has gained nothing from us. And if he had chosen, he could have very well continued on existing alone for all eternity. Isaiah chapter 40. Notice with me here. Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 15. Listen here to God's description of himself. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. If you, in the Old Testament days, in the time of Isaiah, if you were envisioning a vast forest land, that was Lebanon. Their cedars there are described as our sequoia trees or redwoods today. They were massive trees that were all over the land of Lebanon. Solomon would build the temple out of those very cedar trees. He would use those in the construction of the temple of the Lord. Massive cedars, vast forests there in the country of Lebanon. And what the Lord declares here is all of Lebanon. If you took every tree in Lebanon, by the way, there's no trees in Lebanon anymore. They cut them all down. But if you took all those trees of Lebanon, all that vast forest, and built a fire of sacrifice to the Lord, it wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough to appease it. It wouldn't be enough to praise. You took all the animals in there and offered them for a burnt offering, it still wouldn't be great enough to glorify the God of heaven. It's not enough. All of creation is not enough to compare to the wonder and the greatness of God. It's not enough for us to offer even the tiniest bit of worship unto him. He is far above all that we can imagine. Verse 22, he goes on to say here, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Vanity. God has gained nothing from us. He is self-existent, self-contained, self-sufficient, without need of anything. Without need of anything. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6, Paul says here in verse 15 and verse 16, which in his times he shall show, speaking of Christ Jesus here, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Honor and power everlasting. Such a God that is above everything, that is absolutely sovereign over all, such a God deserves worship. But he cannot be known. He cannot be known with these human faculties. God must be revealed. He must be revealed to us by his Spirit through his Word. He makes himself known by his Spirit through his Word. And he works that in us, the children of God. He works that in a new birth. In a new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus there when he met him by night, Nicodemus come flattering, speaking to the Lord, "Oh, we know that you're a man come from God. We know that you are wonderful. We know you're all great. We know these things about you." And the Lord sidesteps Nicodemus' flattery and goes right to the heart of Nicodemus' problem when he says in verse number 3 of John 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Our Lord reveals himself to us. He shows us who he is. We are able to know him by this new birth that he works in us. It is his choice. It is his choice to do it. It is his. He didn't need it. He didn't need that. He was not compelled in any way to accomplish the salvation of his people. He chose to do it. He chose it. He is the one who works it. He is the one who does it. He is the one that reveals it unto us. It is a new birth. A new birth. Now, having considered his self-existence, let's consider the immensity and the infinity of the Lord. God is no way contained by the limits of the universe. He is beyond them. Go over to Psalm chapter 145 with me, verse number 3. Psalm 145 and verse number 3. And notice what David says here concerning the vastness, the immensity of our Lord. Psalm 145 and verse 3, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. In chapter 147, notice verse number 5. Well, back up actually, let's read verse 4 with this as well. It says here, he telleth the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. He calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. Job 11, verse number 7. Job chapter 11, verse 7, and on through verse number 9 here. Job 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. There's no way we can know him except he show himself, except he reveal himself to us. We're not capable of this knowledge of him without him showing himself. He is greater than the earth itself. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 27. 1 Kings 8 and verse 27. He says here, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. This is what Solomon says concerning the temple that he's made for the Lord. He says, the heaven of heavens can't contain you. How much less this little temple that I've built. It can't contain the Lord. He is so vast. He is so great. The only binding restriction upon God is his own nature. Is his own nature. Nothing can contain nor compare to his vastness and his greatness. Ephesians 4, verse number 6, Paul says, here, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. God is total perfection. In his nature, in his essence, in his character, in his attributes, in his completeness, in everything, God is perfection. He is absolutely perfect. Matthew chapter 5, Brother Mark was speaking to this morning concerning our place before the law and how we are imperfect, how we are incapable of keeping the law, how we are not able to meet that perfect standard of God, but Christ Jesus most assuredly met that standard of God. He most assuredly was completely perfect. And in that perfection was able to give himself for us to take our place that his perfection might be applied to us, that we would be made perfect, not in this flesh, but in Christ, that we would be made perfect before the throne of God, that in him and only in him we are able to meet the perfect standard of God's law. It is only in him that we meet that standard. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's God's standard. Standard we cannot meet. The standard that is met for us in Christ. And God is not perfect. God is not perfect because of something else. He is perfection. And in his perfection, it assures his immutability, that he does not change, that there is no possibility, because he is perfect, because he is perfection, that assures us that there is no possibility of imperfection in him. He's not perfect because of something else. He is the embodiment of that perfection. He is the perfect God. He is perfect in every way. Absolutely holy. Absolutely righteous. Psalm 18 and verse number 30. David writes here, he says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. His way is perfect. God is the perfect God. He is also the eternal God. The eternity of God shows his infinity in relation to time. Psalm 102 and verse number 27. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. In Psalm 146 and verse number 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. He shall reign forever. In Psalm 90 and verse number 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48, verse number 12 and verse 13. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. My hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they shall stand up together. He is eternal. But everlasting, everlasting. He has no beginning and he has no end. He is the eternal God. Genesis 21, verse number 33. It says, Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. The everlasting God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. God is without beginning or end. He is free from all limitations of time. He is the creator of time. And he has employed time for us. He's employed time for us. Yet when he chooses, though he is outside of time, when he chooses for our sake, he acts according to time. He acts according to time. That doesn't mean that he is bound by it in any way, but simply for our sakes. He exercises or works his will in time to accomplish that which he's going to accomplish. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul describes that here for us. He says, and when the fullness of time was come. In other words, God establishes time. He sets time in place. And he determines what is going to take place in this span of time. And in particular places in time, he has things appointed. And so when it comes to pass, when that time appointed comes to be, the Lord works his will in that time. Now, what we're shown here in the scriptures is there are major things along that timeline that the scripture says, and it came to pass. Listen, what we understand in the sovereignty of God is every day is it came to pass. Because it's not just in these major events that the Lord works. He works every day. His will is accomplished continually. It is every day that his will is accomplished. It is every day that it comes to pass. And his will is accomplished. The scriptures just give us these examples of these major events that the Lord works and accomplishes for his people. And so Paul says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He acts in time, or acts according to time, for our sakes. For our sakes. Now the Bible gives beginnings. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. It gives us a beginning there. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, we see another beginning here as it describes the beginning of creation. And God is mentioned here in regards to it. Specifically, the Son is mentioned in regards to it. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, that being Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But what that's describing to us here is simply the beginnings of time, the beginnings of creation, the beginnings of God's working with his creation. It, neither one of these places, Genesis 1:1 or John 1:1, neither of these places describes the beginning of God. But we find in both cases, he's already there. He is the eternal God. The eternal God. He is the one who has created all things. It is these beginnings that are given are simply God's relationship to His creation that are being described. He is the eternal God. Eternal. Everlasting. Everlasting. Psalm 31 and verse 15. Psalm 31 and verse 15. My times are in my hand, or in thy hand rather. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Time is the creation of God and can only exist by virtue of an eternal God. He is the one that not only has created it, He is the one that controls it. He is the one that has set it in motion. He is the one that works in and out of it. He is eternal. He is eternal. Time is His creation. He is not bound by it. God is the eternal God. He is the self-existent God. He is the perfect, perfect God. And by His grace, and listen, it is only by His grace that God makes Himself known to us, that He reveals Himself to us, that we can know Him, that we can know Him. Jesus said that He knows His sheep and am known of mine, He says. Not only does He know us, but He reveals Himself that we know Him. That there is a reciprocating knowledge there. That there is an understanding of who we are in Him because He reveals Himself. He reveals Himself. This eternal, self-existent, self-contained God who is in control, absolutely sovereign over all things, has made Himself known to His people. That we can know Him. That we can know Him. That we not only can know Him, but that we ever be a part of Him. That He makes us His own. This is this God that is described to us in the Scriptures. This is Jehovah. A God that is any less than this is not God. It is not God. The God of the Bible is the eternal God that has revealed Himself in His Word by His Spirit to us that we might know Him. That we might know Him. Do you know God this day? Do you know the very Creator of heaven and earth? Do you know that He is your God? Do you know that you have salvation only in His working? Not in religion, not in religious acts, not in things that we have performed, but in that which He has done for us in Christ Jesus. Only in Him. Ye must be born again. Do you know God? To know Him, you must know Christ. You must know Christ because he is revealed, he is made known in the person of his Son. Only in Christ, who again is also or is the eternal God. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus this day. Let's all stand. Brother Jonathan, would you bring us a song?